for transformation. Hello and welcome to the start of week two. And today we're going to work on the transformation. What do I mean by the transformation? This is why your clients come to you. They come into you because they want to have the thing that you offer, and in most people's cases, this is a change that you're offering. It's the change for them from that stage where they felt that something was wrong with their life or their business, and they can see a vision of how it could be, what it might be if they could just make this change. You might offer the complete transformation from where they are now to where they want to be, or you might offer a part of the transformation. And what do I mean by that? Sometimes a big change doesn't happen overnight. It takes time. It takes quite a lot of work on the part of the client. And your job might be to get them to the beginning of the journey, or even from the midway through to the end of the journey. The thing for you to do at the moment is to think about what the outcome might be of the transformation that you are offering. And let's give you an example. So in this program that you're on, the actual what you want if you've joined this program is to have paying clients. And this program is to get you ready for paying clients. So the promise of this program is to take you to the stage where you feel like you have a program to offer your paying clients, and you have some idea as to what that program might be and how you might be paid for it. The stage after that is to actually have the sales conversation with the clients, and that's the next stage in the journey that possibly explains to you the idea of transformation and the fact that a program which you design might take the client on part of the journey. They may have to go through to another level to get to the actual end result that they want to get to. And this isn't because of any failing on your part. It's because, as I say, it takes time and layers of knowledge and practice to get to a particular stage. In talking about how you work out what the transformation is, it can take some brain power to do it. And so on your worksheet there are some questions, and what I ask you to do at the moment is to step into the actual, imagine you are your actual client. You might metaphorically say step into the shoes of your client, and imagine that you could answer these questions for your client. I'm going to read them out to you. So the first one is, the main problem in my life now is, when I found a solution to this problem, I will be able to. My aim is, and by this I mean perhaps my ultimate aim is to. So it might be my aim is to make sufficient money to live the lifestyle which I want. And to do this, I need blank to get there. I need paying clients to get there. Let me give you examples of those first two questions using this program. The main problem in my life business now is that I don't really have a proper program to offer to clients. When I found a solution to this problem, I will be able to feel confident that I have a good program to offer to clients. My aim, as we've said before, my aim is to attract paying clients so that I can earn the money that I need for the lifestyles I want, and I need to have paying clients to get there. After I've worked with you, so this question is, imagine that the client has worked with you, what would they say? After I've worked with you, I found that I was blank. I found that I was able to create the program which I wanted to offer. After completing your program, actually getting together a program for clients, which had been a problem to me, was no longer difficult. Now that I've taken your program, I have a much better understanding of how to get ready to attract paying clients. I hope that gives you an idea. So your task is to go and fill in the blanks in your workbook. Now I'm going to talk again a little bit more about the transformation. And the idea of this is to help you to really identify the transformation. And the transformation can take, the ultimate transformation that your client wants to make could take days, weeks, or months. And your job at this stage is to decide how deep you're going to go into their transformation to help them. So this is partly going to be governed by the time that you plan to offer your program for. So for example, if you think that let's take a really simple example. Let's say weight loss. If weight loss was going to take 3 months to get from to lose 2 stone, let's say for example, and your program was going to last for a month, it would be preparation, probably analysis and preparation for weight loss. So it's really about deciding what level of transformation you're going to offer. And also what you want to know is, when your client is working with you on the program, how are they and you going to know that it is working? And so what you can do to what one might do to be able to recognize that the program is effective. Because this is important for the client to know that it's working, and it's also important for you because you get your reward from knowing that the client is making progress.
Just give me 1 second, please.
We talked about the transformation that you want to make, which ultimately is the promise of your program. Your knowledge of the work that you do, your knowledge of working with previous clients, will tell you to some extent how long you might expect the transformation to take. And you're going to use this knowledge to work out how long your program will be. And if you're doing it the other way around, if you decide you want the program to last for a month, that will determine the extent of transformation that you will expect your client to achieve within that period of time, if that makes sense. So what we're talking about is how you determine the duration of your program, which is going to be in hours, days, months, weeks, or even a year. And so for example, you know, if you were coaching a client on starting up their business, it could take, you know, at least 6 weeks to get prepared for that. And so you probably wouldn't aim to do it. Actually, this is something which I've done, and I happen to know that it takes 8 weeks to really to work through and mentor somebody to create a business plan. I've tried to do it less, and the clients need more time. So what you do is that you aim to identify, I'll call it milestones or indicators along the way, that tell you and the client that they are making progress. So let's take the business plan example. And so the client needs to prepare a business plan. And you might say, okay, indicators along the way might be, one, get the concept. And so the indicator might be they could write down the concept. Indicator two would be preparation of an outline profit and loss account. And indicator three would be preparation of a marketing plan. So those things would be, you know, if you're looking for milestones, you look for those things to be written down so that you and the client could agree that they had been done. If it's a, you know, a psychological therapy coaching, again, I think that although, you know, you might not have such concrete things as a profit and loss or a marketing plan, but what you can ask for is perhaps some journals or diaries or feedback at various steps along the way, so that you get some idea that this is working. Because when you're offering a program, depending again on whether it's a teaching program or a coaching program, I'll tell you more about that a little bit later, you do really want to know that it's working for the client. Okay, so yeah, the mode of program that you offer. This isn't set in stone, and you can make a decision as to the mode that you're going to operate in the main for program. So these are the options. It can be that you're offering a learning program. In the workbook, if you go to the workbook, you can tick your choice. So it could be that you're offering a learning program. To a certain extent, this is a learning program because there's quite a lot of content in the program for you to learn and act on. It could be a learning program. It could be a mentoring program where you are partly teaching and partly coaching. So it's a mixture of coaching and teaching. And you will allow the client to some extent to work things out for themselves, but where they get stuck, you'll help them. And you'll also impart some knowledge. It could be a pure coaching program where it's understood that the client already has some knowledge within their own experience of how to solve the problem, but your job is to help them find that strength or knowledge or power within inside themselves. It could be a collaboration program where you literally are going to partner and share a spark, you know, two heads are better than one with the client to achieve an outcome. Or it could be a scope of work that you're going to do, and the program is about you completing that scope of work that has been agreed. So that gives some idea of the mode in which you might operate. In addition to that, the third thing is the way that you, it's like the way you're going to be to your client. Because sometimes you might create a program where you actually really are the go-to expert, the leading authority in this field. And that will be a slightly different positioning from maybe if you have just made this change within yourself and you're so pleased with the results that you want to share your knowledge. So you're sharing almost as a peer, look, you know, come with me and I'll tell you, I'll show you what I've done, work with me and I'll show you what I've done. So that's some food for thought on how you might work with your client. Have a look at the workbook and get some thoughts onto paper. Program levels and outlining your program. In this section, what I'd like to talk about is that when you're operating a business, you will have different levels of the program. The reason that you have different levels is that different people are able to take on different complexities or levels of risk or levels of expense. And so therefore you design a section of programs to cater for them. A way that of probably explaining this is how it was explained to me many years ago. Supposing you were not that interested in classical music, but you thought it could be quite good to go. Well, you might see an advert for Beethoven's classics or, easy concert series. And this would probably be at a subsidized rate. You know, if a concert is £20, this might be advertised at £10. So it's kind of quite easy for you to go. You sample the delights of listening to classical music. You realize that you know some of the tunes in it. And then you start to get interested, a little bit more interested in the programs, in the music. So what I've just described is the easy entry. You start to get a bit more interested in the music. You start to want to find out about, you realize there's probably more composers than Beethoven, Mozart. And you think that it could be worth maybe having a listen to Sibelius or Stravinsky. And so you go for the next one up, which will probably be described as for the more ardent listener or for the more experienced listener. And so therefore, instead of paying £10, you might pay £20 for this program, because now you know what it's like to go to a concert, you're happy with it. And then you might then decide that you're going to go to the whole experience where you have by the program that's got the dinner, the after show talk. It's an exclusive concert arranged especially for enthusiasts, and this would be considerably more expensive, but the pleasure that comes out of it is also more. That's kind of my way of explaining the different levels that you create your programs at. So they're all on the same topic, but just at different levels. And I've put some notes in the workbook where you can read more about it. The thing for you to do is to understand that there are different levels. Your actual task is to think about, so the house program is going to be the main program where you earn your money. And excuse me again, the video is just flipped off. I'm not sure what happens here. Never mind. So the main program that you are going to earn your money will be the house. This will be the one that the majority of people will eventually take. And what I suggest that you do is that you write down on a piece of paper all of the different ideas that you have for this program. Now, the way you write it down is going to depend on whether you plan to operate your program as a learning program, a coaching program, or a mentoring program. I'll explain the difference. If it's a learning program, then you're going to impart some of your knowledge. You're going to share your knowledge with the clients on the program. If it's a coaching program, there is some assumption that they kind of have some knowledge of what they should be doing, but your job is to help them find within themselves how they can find this knowledge. I'm just going to switch this video off. I was recording on a mobile phone, but I'm going to abandon that now. So your job is to help them find it amongst themselves how they can get to the state they want to be. So you're helping them to explore in their own mind the way they can get to the program, people that they can get help from, how they can uncover their blocks. Or it could be a mentoring program, which could be a mixture of teaching and coaching. And you could organize some masterclasses and networks and things like that, networking events for them as well, to help them to get to where they want to be. So it depends on the program. So I'll go through your tasks depending on which program you choose. If it's a learning program, you need to list all of the topics they need to get from A to B, to the place you want them to take. Outline the topics at the start. Don't dismiss any topics. Put them all down, and then you can sift through, see which ones look as if they're going to link together and form part of the program. You'll probably have lots and lots of ideas. Just take any out that seem as if it's too much content, and you can keep this for a later program. If it's a coaching program might just have maybe one process that you use, and maybe it's the tapping process that you use, and then so you just need to work out what this process is, work out maybe a way that you analyze what stage the client is at when they come to you, and then any resources that you're going to share with the clients, or any reading references that might help them to understand what you're doing for them. And if it's a mentoring program, I'd suggest that you might want to gather together some stories that you might use for your masterclass topics, which will be a bit similar to doing the teaching program, and also think about any networks that you might introduce them to, or events that you might create yourself as part of the masterclass program. So that's your task for today, is to really just, it is a sketch at this stage. We'll go into a little bit more detail later on, but it's to start to get some ideas down onto paper of what you're planning to do in your program. Hope you enjoy doing that. pricing and getting paid for your pricing. That's what I want to talk about today in this video. And you know, any accountant will tell you there's so many different ways of setting the price of your product. So what I want to do is to focus on one way, and if you experiment with this one way to start with, I think this will give you a good grounding in setting the price, because the most important thing is that you do have a price in mind for the program that you offer. Because without a price in mind, when it comes to you making the sale, you've got so many different things to think about when you're making the sale, that the one thing you need to have confidence in is your price. It just removes an element of uncertainty from your own mind. If you feel confident about the price that you are charging for your service or product. So what we're going to look at is, I've got, let me just explain it to you a little bit first of all. If we talk about the market rate, you know, you might do some research and try to find out what other people are charging for a similar service. Now, I say this, however, it might not be so easy to do it. And the reason is because you will find that some people put prices on their website. Others, particularly if it's a high value or high-end service, choose not to put the prices on their website for the simple reason that they feel that it's not possible for somebody to make a judgment about the price until they've had a conversation with them. It's not necessarily that they're hiding the price, but that's the thought process behind it. And the price that you charge is always going to be a balance between what the market rate is or what the going rate is and what you think your service is worth. There are some people who charge in a slightly different way, and I'm not going to explain this for this series because I want to keep it simple, but just in a nutshell, they price according to the value that their service is to the client. If you can imagine that, maybe if somebody was offering fertility treatment, you know, what's the price of gaining the fertility to have a child? You almost couldn't put a price on it. So okay, so what I'm going to do is I'm going to take you to the spreadsheet, which you will find on the document. So just give me a moment while I go to this spreadsheet, and I'm going to show you how this works. Check that share. Okay, so you should now be able to see this calculator. And what you do is, remember in the earlier session we talked about you having three different levels of program. You might have an entry program, a main program, and a VIP offer. For the moment, let's just focus on one. Let's say this group is your house offer. So what you do is that you decide roughly what revenue do you expect or want to make from this service. Now, this is quite a different question from what revenue do you want to make in total, because your total revenue might, in all probability, will be made up of a mixture of the three levels of service that you offer. However, if this is your first time round, it's easier to just think about one service at a time. So if it's easier to just think about what total revenue do you want for the moment, just think about what total revenue you want and just do that calculation for starters. So here we've said the total revenue is 15,000. You then work out the number of weeks that you are available to deliver this service. Now, the standard number of weeks is somewhere around 40. That is 52 weeks minus 6 to 8 weeks for holiday and a couple of weeks for training, upgrading products, or just pure client downtime. So that equates to about 40 weeks. In this case, because this was a group online program, which is somewhat dependent on having sufficient numbers to make a group, I've estimated that that is only available for 26 weeks of the year. In other words, perhaps there could be two intakes and each module or each program is 12 weeks, for example, which means it's available for 26 weeks in the year. Now, you'll see that the cells in blue, you can change these to see how the hourly rate change. Don't change the pink cells because they're fixed. They're the things that change when you change the changeable elements. So you work out your weeks available. You then work out how many hours in the week you have to deliver this service. And when I say deliver, I mean hours either in front of the client or providing the service. So if you were a coach, it would be your 52-hour minute sessions. So if you had six 1-hour slots, that is 6 hours that you can deliver the program. Okay. And what that tells you is with that combination, 15,000 available 26 weeks in the year, and you've got 6 hours to deliver it, the hourly rate is £96. You might think, well, how do you know that that's £96? And what about the rest of the stuff I have to do? So the rest of the stuff comes into play. If you look at the table below, this is a calculator to tell you how many hours a week in total you can work. So if, for example, that you decided you could work 35 hours in a week, that would be made up of approximately 12 hours marketing, 6 hours admin, 5 hours product updates, and the extra hours also that you had for you, the other products that you were delivering. Okay. Now, what I want to show you is, say, for example, if you said, look, I want to make a revenue of £20,000 from my house program, 20. So if I change that, it means that the hourly rate goes up, you can see, to £128 an hour. It doesn't alter the number of hours I'm working a week. It just means that I have to charge more to earn that money. However, if I then said, well, I don't think that I can get 128, let's see if we can get the hourly rate down, then what you do is that you could perhaps maybe say, well, if I added an extra 2 slots a week in, so if I made it 8 hours a week, that then brings the hourly rate down to £96. Then what you do here on this calculator is that you change your hours to 8 and that then changes your weekly hours to 37. So you've added another 2 hours onto your week. I need to make those blue to signify that you can change those. So make those into that nice blue color, meaning that you can change those figures as well. You can also change these. So if, for example, if you thought that you didn't need 12 hours to do your marketing, if you thought you could do your marketing in 6 hours a week, you change that that then reduces your weekly hours to 31. And let's say, for example, that yeah, you just want to have all of your revenue, for example, to come from a single product, then all that you need to do is to just make that naught and naught. That then reduces, and then there's no hours to be put into the other and that reduces your hours in the week to 25. Okay, I hope you get the idea. Play with it and see how it works out for you. And you might have a rate in mind. You might decide that the average rate for your service is £80 an hour, for example, in which case you can then work backwards from that. And yeah, so that's how you calculate roughly the hourly rate for your program. You will, of course, in time, want to develop a VIP version. And the VIP version will take, there'll be more contact time with the client, inevitably, in a VIP offer. And you can simply work out the VIP version based on your hourly rate. Some people add a premium because you might add some extra bonuses or extra value to the VIP program. The entry program, again, you might, there's no set in stone way of doing this, but you might decide that you want to, although you know you've got an hourly rate, you might want to have the entry program at a slightly lower rate, simply because you want to get more people through so that you can upgrade them to the higher rate program. Or you might decide that you're going to stick with your hourly rate, let's say it's £80 an hour, and you're going to then have to tailor your low-cost program so that people can get the benefit of the program still with them paying a low rate, but you getting your £80 an hour. Okay. And that is about it, really. There are some worked examples in the workbook. I think have a play with it. But I personally think it's quite good to play with the spreadsheet. You can sketch it out on paper, but have a go on the workbook. Okay. I'm going to stop that share and go into the Facebook as well and let me know how you get on with your pricing, and let me know if you feel comfortable about the price that you've decided to charge. Bye for now. Welcome. Creating your autograph system. This is my favorite part of the program, and I hope that you're going to enjoy it as well. This is where you get to get an overview and put together the nuts and bolts of your program. And it's the part that you really think about how it's going to be unique, uniquely your own program. I do hope you enjoy it. The part that is going to make your program different from anybody else's. Here's some ideas for you. It could be that you create a certain number of steps which are unique to you. In my Launchpad program, I have 5 steps, which is you, client, service and message, online offline foundations and strategy. And this is all underpinned by a 90-day action plan. So it could be that you have a unique number of steps. It could be that you have a unique recipe, which is certain ways elements are combined together. maybe you might have a very personal, if it's coaching, a very personal meditation that you use at the end of each program that inspires people to go and do the actions. Or it could be your very unique style of pre-program analysis. There's no limit probably to the amount of ways that you make your program unique to you. Just have a be creative and think about what you might want to incorporate. And if you can, in the workbook, see if you can write down either the, you know, your name, so many steps, process or system, or my program will be unique because I will give XYZ at the beginning or end or in the middle of the program. Okay, so you've got, I hope now, or when you've done the work, clearly this will take a little bit of thinking about. I would give yourself some quiet time to do this. Get yourself into a space where you feel quite creative to go through this step. And so the next thing to do is to start to choose the framework for your program. And in this next stage, if you remember previously, you've mapped out a very rough outline. You've mapped out very roughly the topics that you want to include in the house program. So what you're going to do now is that you're going to make a decision as to what parts of the house program could you include in the entry. And it could be that this is 10% of what you had in the house program, or it could be that it's a certain part of the process that you go into in a deeper level. I have written some prompts for you which will enable you to think more clearly about how you're going to put together the offer. And the prompts are, I'll read them out, but what I'd advise you to do is to take a look in the workbook. So what transformation do you want for the client on this particular program? How are they going to know that they've achieved it? What milestones can you build in to signal that they've achieved it? What is your client moving away from, and what do they want to gain? Here we go. I hope you can now see this program sheet. And you can use this sheet to help you to build up what there might be in your program. At this stage, I'm still talking about an overall bird's eye view of the program. I'm not expecting at this stage to detail what will go into individual sessions, but I'm asking you to outline what will go in individual sessions. And there's some basic text that you can write here: the program name, what you're going to call it, the level, whether it's entry, house or VIP, the duration of the program. So what I mean by this is how many months or days or weeks do you want the program to last for? So it might be a 3-month program, or it might be a 1-week program, or a 1-month program, or a 6-month program. And how many sessions do you think you will need to achieve the outcome that you want for your client? Will it be a weekly session, fortnightly session? You choose the number of sessions and the hours that you plan for each session. So for the example here, you might have a 3-month program with 6 sessions of 1 hour. As part of your unique program, you might choose to add in that the first session maybe is a 90-minute deeper session rather than the normal hour time. or you might choose to add in extra time in the middle for a review. So there's flexibility in this. And then what you want to do also is to remind yourself of what you want the client to have achieved by the end of the program. And also, remember we looked at you creating your unique autograph system. It's a good idea to remind yourself what your system is and ways that you can try and incorporate that uniqueness into the overall view of your program, so that you are infusing what it is that's unique about what you do into the program. So here what you do is that you simply write down stage one, stage two, stage three, and you know, if for example, if your program is a coaching program and each session is going to be more or less the same, then you might outline what you might want to cover in the beginning, and then you might want to work out, you know, midway point and end point of the program. If it's a learning program, then you'll probably have session one, session two, session three, and then you look at the topics that you're going to include, the activities that you're going to do, which might be explaining, it could be listening. Your main activity could be to listen. What the client is supposed to do in the session, are they supposed to be talking, writing, thinking? Any resources that you want to create for the course? And also you can make notes here as to how you're going to know or what channels you're going to give for the client feedback to you. So that's the resource for you. You'll find this again on your program page. And also one other thing which I should have said, when you write your topics, you can also create in here subtopics. So in the example, if the topic was report building, you might include your subtopics. And this is where you're adding the subtitle a little bit more detail. But you're not actually writing the whole, do you understand? You're writing the outline, the headlines, but you're not writing all the detail. Once you know that the topic of that session is rapport building, and it's going to contain a section on greeting, modeling, and empathy, then you can go away. When you're ready to start to write the program, you can go away and write your notes about the three subtopics that make up rapport building. And this is the focal point really of this program, is being able to feel that you have created a program. And you will get such a good feeling when you've done this exercise, because I hope this will feel like a piece of light has shone on you, that suddenly you can see the light, you can see the way that you are going to construct something which is unique to you, that you are going to give to your clients. That's it for this session. See you in the next one. Of creating a program, a unique autograph program, and you will want to sell the program. Obviously, without clients, you have no program. The workbook this time will show you some questions to ask so that you can create a communications file. And this time, this is not the actual end piece of copy. Ultimately, next week, what you're going to do is that you're going to create a PDF that you can email, or a sheet that you can take to networking, or something you can pass to a designer to design into an information sheet. However, before you do that, you need some information to put on the sheet, so that you have some explanation of exactly what it is exactly that you are going to do. Now, some of the information that we are going to gather together here, you already have. I don't want you to think I'm repeating what you've already done. You can go back to your previous notes and copy and paste the information from your previous notes. You have already created a person description, so you can copy and paste the information about the person description. The next stage is what's wrong. And again, we have discussed this, so you will probably have some previous notes. The idea of having an information file is that you can keep on adding to this. Next week, again, you will start to do research calls and you can add to the information on this sheet. What you're essentially looking for is signs, behaviour, and the results of the behaviour. So, for example, somebody might have a sign that they have a headache, which indicates that they have anxiety, and the result of that anxiety could be that they forget to do the things they were supposed to do. And this could cause emotions that are spiraling feelings of depression. It could, because if the emotions last for a longer period of time, that could cause depression. The dream outcome might be that they want to feel that they are much more in control of their emotions. The signs of being in control of their emotions might mean they do no longer have fluttering heartbeats or facial perspiration. Their behaviour might be that the results of the behaviour might be that they feel confident about going to networking states, and they might be getting to a happy mood state. Now, what they want, they might, for example, think, well, what I want is more money, and then I'll be less anxious about paying the bills. But actually, what they might need is more confidence. And so your task is to draw up, get an idea of what they need, but also what they want, because you probably know what they need, but they know what they want. I hope that's making sense. And there are some questions on the workbook that you can go through to help yourself to answer these create this file more fully. At this stage, don't worry whether it's written in proper English or in neat paragraphs at all, because you're going to edit it next week. Research. In research, what you want to do is to find out all of the things which you theorized last week. And what you're going to do is you're going to find out what it is that your client thinks is wrong with their life or their business. You want to know how they describe it, what words they use. So, for example, if a client is suffering from some type of, irritable bowel syndrome, how do they know that it's a problem? How is it affecting their lives? Does it stop them going out of the house? Does it stop them from making plans for holidays? That sort of thing. You want to know how they know that there's something wrong. Have they recognized it? Have they actually noted down that there are some symptoms? Or are they just simply aware that there's something not right? You're trying to find out how they describe what they want, because you theorized a solution to a problem that you think your clients might have. But what you want to find out is what words do they use. So, for example, let's use the irritable bowel. I would like to be able to go out without fear that I might not be able to find a loo in time, maybe an answer that they might want. Now, is there a solution? Quite often, when somebody has a problem, they don't initially think that there will be a solution to their problem. And so what you want to try and find out is, are they aware that there is a solution? Okay, so that's roughly what you're trying to find out from research calls. To do this, what you do is you write out some questions. And the questions that you write out are known as the research questions. There are some basic questions which you can see. What would you like to improve about your business now? How would you like to improve on this? What would be different when it's done? And what would happen if you did nothing about it? So what I would say is the important thing is that these are the base questions. You might formulate the wording in a slightly different fashion depending on what solution or you want to offer or what problem it is that you're trying to deal with. So for example, what would you like to improve on about your business life right now? So supposing you were in marketing, what problems, what's your biggest challenge at the moment in being able to market your business? What would you most like to improve about your marketing? Would be two questions that you might ask if that was the area that you were working in. When you have written out the questions, you then need to get these questions answered. And the main decision is, are you going to have the conversations online or offline? If you have the conversation online, there are a number of advantages. You will get a deeper response, a more thought about response in a real conversation. Sometimes when you have a real conversation and you really give the person time to think about their answers, the conversation can take a different turn. It might raise something new which you haven't thought about before, which you want to explore deeper. And if your calls are timed 40 minutes, for example, that might mean you don't have time for all of the questions that you've written down. This is what happens in research calls. And if you really do need to find out the answers to the questions you didn't have a chance to answer, then you can ask these questions with another research participant. The thing about the conversations is it does take quite a lot of your time to have these conversations. And I would suggest that you are realistic with the number of conversations that you can have. If you're having the conversation online, essentially this means if you're doing an online questionnaire using SurveyMonkey, Typeform, Google Forms, or something like that, or poll in a Facebook group, you can get lots of answers quickly, providing you do have a source of people that can answer the questions. And the other thing is that you need to make sure you've got the right questions set up, because there's no leeway online. If people don't like the questions, they just don't answer them. They don't sort of say to you, I don't understand the question, or could you rephrase that? So that's some of the ins and outs of online or offline questions. When you're doing research, it's really nice if you can have a way of thanking the person for doing the research. This means that they will feel that they haven't given their time for nothing, and they will feel appreciated for giving their time. And there are various ways that you can do this. You can offer them some of your own time back. That will help them. This probably gives them a little sample of what you do as well. You could have a report that you know would be of interest to them in the particular situation that they're in. And this could be something you've already prepared, or you could record an audio, which again was something they might find valuable to listen to. If you happen to be writing a book, they could have a sample of your book. Or you could create an infographic, which is a nice way of saying thank you to somebody, because you take the time to create the pictures. And again, once you've created it, it can go to different people. You might record, you know, I think MP3, I was thinking of meditation, but you could also record a voice podcast. Or you might think of other ideas. So you've got your questions written out, you know what you want to find out, you have a thank you prepared. So the next question is to find places that you can ask for research calls. And these come into four categories mainly. Ask friends and family if they know somebody who meets the description of your research, your ideal client. Or the same in any networks that you belong to. This could be maybe Chamber of Commerce, local mums networking group, women's networking group, wherever you're a member and you attend, ask them if they know of anybody who meets the description. Facebook groups are great. However, I add a word of caution. Always make sure if you post a research call into a Facebook group that you have the permission of the Facebook owner. There are so many different types of Facebook groups. Some of them encourage people to promote their offers, do research. Others are for educational purposes or social purposes, and they would not welcome it. So just check out the group rules. If you are lucky enough to have a mailing list, this is great because you can write your research call out and mail it out to anybody who's already on your list to ask if they would like to take part. So that's it. You're ready to go now with your research calls. Put your calls out and set up the appointments.